1 Corinthians chapter 1. In looking at this subject in God's Word over the past number of weeks regarding the one body, just as sort of a refresher. And this has sort of been a simple look at some of these things, but they're so critical. And my prayer, and I've mentioned it a couple times over these past few weeks, is that our familiarity with these scriptures don't prevent us from learning, don't prevent us from seeing really some of the depths that are involved here with that one body, with Christ being the head, with Him being the Lord. He's it. There is no other Lord. Sometimes we look at scriptures and we consider things that we've read before, that we've been taught, that we think we know, and we just miss out. We just miss out on some other learning that perhaps could take place. Just a little bit more depths of understanding. A number of weeks ago, we started and we considered Jesus Christ as the Lord, one Lord. And we're going to read some of these scriptures again today. But, those in Corinth had aligned themselves with other groupings, secondary things, and they were lauding those secondary groupings of the flesh, following a man, following this man, they follow this man, and they were exalting that above Christ. Isn't that something? And it was causing divisions among them, and they were holding one another to a far different standard than Christ, a standard that had nothing to do with Christ. You ever hear such a thing? And then we considered the next week about holding the head. And again, we looked at how these saints were being warned to not bring in, because there were those who were pushing it, bringing in secondary things as measures of what it was to be spiritual, of what it was to be right. Something, these were other things than Christ, things of the flesh. Do you understand? And we walked through Colossians and, a number of those things, if you remember. All in the body are connected to Him, hence all are connected to one another, but it's through Christ. Through Christ. And then we considered service in the body. And we took a look at Romans 12, renewing our minds. We renew our minds to that which God has given to be believed, which is Christ. That's what's been given to be believed in a nutshell. That's right. And then we continued on in Romans 12, if you remember, and we considered the how of carrying out gifts of grace, because that's what Romans 12 deals with. Each has a gift of grace. Each, every member. And Romans 12 deals with the how, and that is to love without hypocrisy, preferring one another, and all those things that we went through. And that's what it's dealing with, is the how. Then we went to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to look at that again today. But we spent a little time with those verses that deal with ministries, effects produced, see, operations, ways of doing things. But it's what? One Spirit. One Lord, one, what? God. See, it's all one, 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 one. Ephesians, same thing. One God, one Father, one Lord, one body, one faith, one hope, one. No segregation. Then we considered a section in Ephesians 4 where it brought or specified certain ministries in light of effects produced. And the context of Ephesians 4 is Jesus Christ having led captivity captive. You understand? And those specific ministries the effects that they produce is to prevent people from being led captive by keeping them at doctrine. Isn't that something? Those ministries are not set apart to be set above any other gift in the body of Christ. That's not the point. Romans 12 is how. Ephesians 4 is effects produced within this context. See? Helping the bodies to knit together and produce and perform according as God has called. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that simple?
Yeah.
See? And all of this is by grace. It's all by grace. See? It's all Christ, and it's Christ in all. Then we looked at the mystery of the gospel. And boy, that's something we could spend a whole lot more time with. Ah! But in a nutshell, that mystery, as it's revealed, is one new man. One new man. Made up of Jew, Gentile, of all. One new man that will be presented in one body. Jesus Christ is the firstborn. And there's a day coming. There's a day coming when you and I will have bodies fashioned just like his. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
See, and it will be a new man, a new race of men. That was God's solution. Not to fix the old. Kill it. Ha! We're starting over. Isn't that something? And you know, and the word closes with God's going to dwell with men. That's one of those, you know. But this is what he's accomplished in Christ. See, that's what Christ has accomplished. It's just breathtaking when you look at this stuff. And we're to put that new man on, and we consider some of that. And putting that new man on, really, you know, it's that life of God, and it's by way of that life of God that we can put off the old and put on the new. The Word talks much about that Spirit of God, that life of God, that Christ in you, the mind of God, all these different ways in which it's explained and how that it's in the inner parts, it's the heart, but I have to put it on. See? I have to, and I can because I've got Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? And so I can begin to do this. I can walk with love. I can begin to love without hypocrisy. I can see one another, not in light of the flesh, but in light of Christ. See? And it's the Spirit of God that enables me to do that, the life that I have in. The natural man can't do it. He can fix, he can bend, he can tweak, he can look good, but he can't put off the old. Because he doesn't have the new. Isn't that something? It's pretty simple. So that's what we looked at last week. Today we're going to pick it up, and I just want to get a little bit of a running start in 1 Corinthians 1, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12 and spend some time in some of that section that is, you know, the traditional one body verses. but I think it'll be wonderful. That's one of my favorite sections in God's Word, 12, 13, and 14. And really, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to pick it up in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, or that full sharing relationship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay. This is one of six times Lord is said in these few verses. Now, verse 10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment or the same opinion. And these are things regarding that fellowship of Jesus Christ that we've been called to. Okay, we dealt with that a couple weeks ago. It doesn't mean we all think the same like robots. You know, we all root for the same team. We all like the same colors. That would be stupid. But regarding Christ and regarding the things of Christ, we think the same thing, same opinion. For it hath been declared, verse 11, unto me of you, my brethren, by them of Chloe, that there are contentions or strifes among you. So this begins to show what it is, and I wanted to read these few verses. I know we've looked at them before, but just in light of what we're going to be looking at in 1 Corinthians 12. And it's really neat to see why things are handled the way in which they are in 1 Corinthians 12. And a lot of it is because of the divisions and the things that had transpired in Corinth. They were, they were following men. They were creating different subdivisions within the body of Christ that made one group more spiritual than another, made one group worth more than another. See, if they weren't part of this group, do you understand that? Do you ever hear such a thing? And that was going on, you know. And then they were exalting different functions within the body of Christ. And they were coveting. They were coveting certain manifestations, or they were coveting certain ministries or gifts of grace. So all of this was going on. And I got to tell you, that makes for some crazy stuff. And it causes hurt. And it causes a lot of things because the eyes are not on
God.
Christ, and that's right, and his Father, our God who put this whole thing together, which is what we're going to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's turn there. You guys following here? I know I'm talking kind of fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts or things of the Spirit or spiritual matters. And these are spiritual matters that we're going to be dealing with here. I would not, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, you know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. See, he's addressing something here that was going on in the church. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by Holy Spirit. Now, and sort of a, there's a little parenthesis here, kind of a digression. I don't want to get too complicated here, but it's explaining a little bit further, okay, regarding this Holy Spirit. It's really awesome. Now, there are diversities of gifts or gifts of God's grace, but it's the same what? Spirit. There are differences of administrations or ministries or ways to serve, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations or effects produced, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Then you have a section here where it separates out. It sets a contrast. It's going to set a contrast to what was just revealed regarding these different functions, these different effects produced, and it's the manifestation of the Spirit and the one body. It's really cool. So now you've got the manifestation of the Spirit, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Every man to profit. And then it breaks out the manifestation of the Spirit in light of the different prophets or the different ways in which they profit. Speaking in tongues has an incredible profit to the saint. Helps him grow, builds him up spiritually. Perfect prayer, intercession, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. These things have different what? Results, different
profit.
Benefit, profit, correct. So it breaks it out, but it's a manifestation of Spirit. And these all worketh the same. You know, how does that read? Verse 11. These all work at that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to severally as he, referring to the man, wills. Okay? So it's really beautiful. It's really beautiful how this works. Then, for as the body is what? One. And hath many members. So you've got, you know, things that, operations, gifts, different effects in the church, but it's one God, one Lord, one faith. You've got different prophets produced by one Spirit. Here, we're going to get into one body. See? For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, our one body, so also is who?
Christ.
Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Judeans or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink one Spirit. I love that, the way this is phrased here, because it reminds me of that woman at the well. You remember John 4? Ha! You know, give me that water to drink, because he said whoever drinks of this will never thirst again. See? And he was talking about Spirit. We've all been made to drink one Spirit. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Four, the body is not one member, but what?
Many.
If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Is that true? If one says that? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And it's really beautiful here because it's almost... I hesitate to say it, but it's because it's God's word, but it's almost a silly, in a humorous way, to illustrate for these believers who were so divided. You know, it's like breaking it down to an almost humorous thing. So, what? Your foot says you're not part of the body? Is that what? Does that make it not part of the body? It's a silly, isn't it a silly question? But boy, what a great point. See, what a great, great point. And it just makes it live. It's just such a beautiful illustration. Because it is Christ in all. It's all Christ. We are all connected by Christ. Hence, we are all connected together. See, as members in particular. Verse 16. That's where I left off, yeah. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, now this is getting pretty funny. If the whole body were an eye, where's the hearing? See? If the whole were hearing, where's the smelling? You know, if everybody wanted to be an eye, I want to be an eye. I want to be an eye. I want to be an eye. How are you going to get anywhere?
Won't.
Right. Exactly. See, it's that simple. Oh, but I want to be the nose. I want to be the nose. See? And that's what's being addressed here. But now, hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Ha! See? So, you know, it's really funny. What makes this funny, even more funny, is you got, you know, all these guys sitting around saying, I want to be the eye, I want to be the eye, I want to be the eye, I want to be the eye. And we've just learned that God set them in the body as what? Pleased. Now, who knows more? The guy that wants to be the eye or God? See, isn't that something? It's just so wonderful. You know, sometimes people make such a big deal about what they do. And really, the big deal is not about what we do. The big deal is about what Jesus Christ did. See? People sometimes get in the mode of thinking that, you know, it's like Christ should be so thankful to have me. Right. He is. But that's not really how this works. Right? We're thankful for what? For what he's done. Isn't that something? It's just that understanding of who God is and how this thing works. And how he's put this together as it has pleased him, see? And then the word addresses the how. really, and where we're going to land here is that's really our concern. See? Because the real heartbeat of this section is 13. Love. No matter what it is we do, no matter our responsibilities, love. See? Just love. Isn't that something? Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but what? One body. See? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I don't need you. In this illustration. You know, if the eye, how are we going to get what the eye sees? And what the head then tells the hand to get if you don't have a hand. Right? This is beautiful. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be feeble or weaker are what? Necessary. I love that. I love the way this is phrased. It's that seeming to be. Seeming to be to who? God? Jesus Christ? No, just men. Just men. See, who knows more? Isn't that something? And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant, you know, it's comeliness. It's a word for elegance. Our unattractive parts have more elegance. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
You know, where this thing works as one. You know, those seemingly insignificant part of the bodies. You know, I always think of the illustration, stub your toe and watch how it affects the rest of your body. Right? Have you ever done that in the middle of the night? Yeah, it affects... It affects your brain, it affects your legs, your tear ducts, your vocal cords many times. Right? Bam! See? Verse 25. That there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care. One for another. Same care. Same care for everybody. Isn't that something? You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, I think it was. And, I'll tell you, an incredible example of what we're talking about here is the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one that got to see him in his resurrected body was one woman. One woman, Mary. Who, by men's standard, she'd had seven devils cast out of her. First one to see him in his resurrected body. Isn't that amazing? You know the record where they went across the sea and they went and the man in the tombs? It was for that one man. And they turn around and they left. Isn't that something? For him. That took a whole day. Of Jesus Christ's life. Of Jesus Christ's life. One day. Of his ministry, rather. Which was a year at the most. For one man. The road to Emmaus. Two men. And he stayed and he walked with them the whole way. That was hours. And he revealed all the scriptures concerning him. Two guys. Isn't that incredible? It's so different than how we think. See, we think in terms of the crowd, the number, the... And then we judge by the flesh. God doesn't see like man sees. And we make determinations by You know, it might be looks, or it might be, you know, the ability to speak, or the ability to, I don't know, make steak. That's a silly. But do you understand what I mean? These are, but that's not the Word of God. It's one standard is Christ. And so the more we get this, and the more we appreciate this, and the more we understand this, that verse where it talks about we know no man after the flesh or according to the flesh, see, it starts to become a reality. See, we grow in that. Isn't that cool? And it's a very freeing thing. Verse 25, that there be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Same team. Right? Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles. And the use of church here, there's a lot in this chapter. But it's, you know, it's the church gathered. It's the local church that's being spoken of here. When you go through, you see what they were doing. You know, all were speaking in tongues. All were doing this. All were doing that. And that's what's being addressed here. In part. And God has set some in the church. First apostles. Secondarily prophets. Thirdly teachers. After that miracles. Then gifts of healings. Helps. Governments. Diversities of tongues. So it's really interesting in this verse because what it does is it mixes ways of serving with manifestations. That's so, and then it says, are all apostles? See? And these are really rhetorical questions. They're rhetorical questions in light of what we've just read, and in the way it's structured in the Greek, there's a word used that demands an answer of no. But it's, are all apostles? All prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Is everybody a nose? Is everybody an eye?
No.
Of course not. Verse 30. Have all the gifts of healing? You know, speaking of when you're gathered together. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And then there's just a beautiful verse here. In verse 30, and it's irony. It's irony, and it's you know, covet earnestly the best gifts. You go ahead and covet, but I'm going to show you something. Then you've got this great chapter in 13, where it's the love of God. See, and it's not about self. The love of God is not about self. So you really see in this figure, irony is used a lot in Corinthians. You know. There's a great example of somebody coveting a ministry. Great guy. You might remember his name. Simon. Simon. He was chief sorcerer. And when he saw Peter, and when they came down from Jerusalem, he wanted that ministry. I want to buy that. I want that. How much is that going to cost me? And Peter's response was, oh, no. He said, this stuff doesn't get purchased. You know, your heart's not right. Your money, take it. Let it rot with you. See, he coveted. That's that fleshly thinking. We look to Christ. He's the head of the body. Isn't that beautiful? And we endeavor to build these things. We endeavor to love one another. And what we do and what we bring to the table, how we minister, how we care for one another, God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. See? And so often I've seen over the years where saints get all caught up in that. You know, I'm this, I'm that. He's this, he's that. You know, it's kind of silly. He's Christ. That's what it should be. She's Christ. Isn't that great? So, That's a little bit of a look at some of these things in 1 Corinthians 12. So I think I'm going to pray. So gracious Father, thank you for your word.